Hello and welcome to Design Leadership Insights, a podcast where I share the real stories, strategies, and lessons learned from building and leading design teams. I'm Paul, and I've spent the last 15 plus years navigating the complex world of design leadership. I watched nervously as a junior designer's hand slowly went up during our enterprise dashboard redesign meeting. She'd only been with us for 3 months, and I could see the hesitation on her face. In my previous role, I would never speak up, she began softly. I was afraid my ideas would seem too obvious. The room went silent. What happened next didn't just solve our complex dashboard problem. It fundamentally changed how we approach design challenges across our entire organization. In the world of digital product design, breakthrough innovations rarely emerge when we play it safe. Leading a large team that spans across the USA, India, and Dubai taught me that our most impactful solutions often come from unexpected places, like when UI designers dive into user research or when developers join early ideation sessions. As Amy Edmondson, a professor at Harvard Business School, first defined it back in 1999, psychological safety is a shared belief that the team is safe for interpersonal risk-taking. But what does that really mean for design teams? It's not just about creating a comfortable workplace. It's about building an environment where innovative thinking can thrive and transform into tangible business results. When I first started building my global design team, I didn't realize how critical this concept would become. I was focused on processes, tooling, and delivery timelines. But I quickly discovered that without psychological safety, even the most talented designers would hold back their most innovative ideas. The very ideas we needed to differentiate our products in the market. Let me take you back to that enterprise dashboard redesign I mentioned. We were facing the classic challenge in enterprise software, balancing the business desire for more features with our users' need for simplicity. We'd been in multiple ideation sessions, and while we had solid solutions, nothing felt truly innovative until that junior designer spoke up. In previous roles, she explained, she'd often held back suggestions, fearing they might seem too obvious. But in our weekly design reviews, she'd noticed how even incomplete ideas were met with curiosity rather than criticism. This gave her the confidence to propose an elegant solution, introducing features gradually as users became more comfortable with the platform. The room fell silent, not from skepticism, but from collective recognition that we'd been overthinking the problem. In an environment that encourages fresh perspectives, this thoughtful approach resonated immediately. We prototyped it, tested it, and developed it into a progressive disclosure pattern that made advanced features discoverable without overwhelming new users. The results spoke for themselves. Within 3 months, user onboarding completion rates increased by 42%. When we adapted the pattern for our logistics tracking interface, it helped enterprise clients reduce new staff training time by half. This validation gave us confidence to roll out similar progressive disclosure patterns across our entire B2B product suite. But here's what I didn't share in my article. How we got to that moment of psychological safety. It wasn't accidental. It was the result of deliberate practices we'd been building over months. First, we established what I call no judgment zones during ideation sessions. This wasn't just about saying there are no bad ideas, a phrase that's often empty in practice. Instead, we created specific protocols. For example, when someone shares an early concept, the first round of responses must focus solely on what's interesting or promising about it. No critiques or concerns until that person explicitly asks for them. We also normalized showing rough work. I started by sharing my own messy sketches and half-formed concepts. I remember bringing a particularly rough wireframe to a meeting, saying, I know this isn't working yet, but there's something interesting in the navigation pattern I'm exploring. By modeling vulnerability, I showed the team it was safe to share imperfect work. One practice that proved particularly powerful was our learn and iterate documentation. After each project, we document not just what worked, but what didn't, and importantly, what we learned from those failures. We turned these into internal case studies that celebrated the learning process rather than just the outcomes. Leading a team across three continents taught me that psychological safety manifests differently across cultures. Our Dubai-based designers, for instance, initially viewed extensive problem exploration as potentially disrespectful to leadership decisions. In India, team members were often hesitant to contradict more senior colleagues. By demonstrating that questioning assumptions was not just permitted but valued, we developed a truly global culture where designers bring rich cultural perspectives to how we think about user experiences. I found that creating psychological safety requires four key principles. First, reframe failure as learning. We document lessons learned from every project, share personal examples of mistakes, celebrate insights gained from unsuccessful approaches, and use retrospectives to extract value from challenges. Second, enable experimentation by dedicating time specifically for exploration, creating low-stakes testing environments, providing resources for prototyping, and supporting calculated risk-taking. Third, model vulnerability by sharing works in progress, admitting knowledge gaps, asking for help when needed, and demonstrating how to learn from feedback. Finally, recognize different forms of innovation. Value incremental improvements, acknowledge process innovations, celebrate innovative thinking at all levels, and highlight various paths to solutions. The true measure of psychological safety's success isn't just in metrics like the 42% increase in onboarding completion. It's in the fundamental ways our team's behavior evolved. Team members now regularly share early stage concepts, knowing their thinking process is valued as much as polished solutions. Junior designers actively contribute in strategic discussions, often bringing fresh perspectives that challenge conventional approaches. Our designers take time to question assumptions and explore problem spaces more thoroughly. The team has developed a natural rhythm of building on each other's ideas. What begins as one designer's concept often evolves through collaborative refinement, with team members freely offering improvements and alternatives. When faced with challenging problems, the team now shows remarkable resilience. Rather than becoming discouraged by initial setbacks, designers view them as natural steps in the innovation process. If you're looking to build psychological safety in your own design team, here are some practical steps you can take starting today. First, create specific times and spaces dedicated to exploration. This could be a weekly design sandbox session where team members can share early concepts with no expectation of implementation. The key is separating ideation from evaluation. Second, start small with vulnerability. Share one of your own in-progress designs and specifically ask for help with an aspect you're struggling with. When a leader demonstrates vulnerability, it creates permission for others to do the same. Third, change how you respond to ideas. Practice asking curious questions before offering critiques. Simple phrases like, "Tell me more about how you arrived at this solution," or "What aspects of this are you most excited about?" can dramatically change how safe people feel sharing early thoughts. Fourth, create a failure resume for your team, a document that celebrates learning moments rather than just successes. Start by sharing your own professional failures and what you learned from them. Finally, remember that psychological safety isn't about removing all challenges or criticism. It's about building an environment where designers feel secure enough to push boundaries and take creative risks. When team members know they can explore new ideas without fear of ridicule or rejection, they're more likely to propose the innovative solutions that drive business success. As management theorist Peter Drucker famously observed, culture eats strategy for breakfast, and leading design teams across three continents has proven this truth repeatedly. No matter how brilliant your design strategy, without psychological safety, you'll only access a fraction of your team's creative potential. In our next episode, we'll explore the art of design critique, how to transform critique sessions from dreaded evaluations into powerful engines of innovation. I'll share the specific framework we developed that consistently delivers valuable feedback while strengthening team dynamics, including the 24-hour context chair, the 15-minute solution story, structured feedback rounds, and documented action items. Join me to discover how to create critique sessions your team actually looks forward to, rather than dreads. Until then, remember, the next time you hear, "I've been thinking differently about this," In a design meeting, you might be witnessing the spark of your next breakthrough innovation.